Amen. Appreciate the message that's gone before us. You know, another thing about the gifts that he gives is they're appropriate. They're perfectly suited to the recipient. I've missed the mark a lot of times on that, haven't you? But when God gives a gift, he knows what he's doing. Appreciate the message and the good teaching this morning. I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. You know, we just passed through what we call the Thanksgiving holiday. I like Thanksgiving, don't you? More than just the turkey. I appreciate that we still have a time to remind people to be thankful. Now, I hear the trend in the world today is they'd rather say gratitude instead of thankfulness. Well, I'm old-fashioned enough that I just want to stick with thankfulness. Thanksgiving. Because to me, that's more addresses the fact that there is the Father of lights who is giving those things that we enjoy. And we need to be not only thankful for what we receive, but also thankful to the one that's giving it. The more we can express our thanksgiving to God, I think we'll have more joy in our lives. To be more joyful and thankful for what we have. Now, Isaiah chapter 9 is a passage that we oftentimes hear about during Christmas season. And so, since you're going to be hearing some of those things, I pray the Lord will bless us this morning to kind of prepare our mind and our heart that we enter into that season the right way. You know, so many people, you know, you see this, this statement that Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, I like that. But I'm afraid, in actuality, that man in the red suit is a reason for many people's season. So let's enter into it in the right way. Looking to the giver of the gifts. Looking to him. So Isaiah chapter 9. I hope you found it by now. And really what I'm after is verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Unto us a child is born. This is a prophecy. This is not addressing Mary and Joseph as, you know, when it talks about unto us a child is born. This is a prophecy for Israel. This is a prophecy for the people of God. This child is given for this people of God. In the Old Testament, it was the nation of Israel. Okay? But in the New Testament, we find the mention of the Israel of God. In the Old Testament, they were the seed of Abraham. Children of Israel. It's interesting, even the seed of Abraham, you know, the Lord told Abraham, "In thy seed," singular, "shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And Paul made a point of saying to us that in Galatians chapter 4, that he saith not unto seeds as of many, but unto thy seed as of one, which is Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, this child that's being prophesied of. This child came, as Brother Thomas has already told us this morning, to save his people from their sins. And we rejoice to know that he did that, that he's successful in that, that that's the greatest of all gifts, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, for as much as, Romans chapter 8, I'm not getting the first part of it. Romans 8. He that spared not his own son. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also freely give us all things? So the best gift of all is when the Father gave us the Son. And God chose for him to be born into this world. The Word, as John chapter 1 verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But he's still God. In John 14, when Philip said, Lord, show us the Father that sufficeth us. He says, have I been so long time with you, Philip? And have you not known me? He that has seen the Father has seen me. So, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Through Isaiah, God is telling us what he's going to do. Not what he's going to try to do, not what he might do, but what he is going to do. And that is to give us a son. And so I mentioned the fact that Old Testament Israel, the seed of Abraham, or the children of Abraham, then in the New Testament we find him speaking of the Israel of God. But specifically, Matthew 21. Notice something that Jesus tells the Jews. Matthew 21. Let's see. He says in Matthew 21, verse 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. See, in Old Testament we had the children of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. But in the New Testament we find that when Jesus came, he's telling them something here. There's going to be a change. It's no longer going to be the natural nation of Israel. He's now speaking of the spiritual Israel. He says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, the natural seed of Abraham, the natural Israel, and given to a nation. What nation is that? Given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. What he's talking about here is a nation of believers, of his people, those who have his spirit. It's not no longer, as I heard years ago, a preacher said, it's no longer race, it's grace. That God has his people. He sent his son to save his people. And he's telling those Jews here that the kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, we normally think of a nation as a people of a common birth, you know, American or Russian or whatever. Well, this nation has a common birth, don't they? We're born again. We're born from above. This nation of people, the people of God, this nation is the one that this child was given to save. All right? So when Jesus came, all right, the prophecy says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Aren't you thankful that God has blessed us to understand that God made a special way for his son to be born when he sent him to this world? Born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. In all of those things, we find that God made a way for his son to come into this world and be free from sin. Brother Thomas was mentioning Romans 5:12, Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And that one man was Adam, wasn't he? And before anybody else was born into this world, they sinned. And so, that sin, that condition, when anybody was born into this world, they were under that condemnation. Now, I was thinking, as Brother Thomas mentioned that this morning, there's some mamas that just gets upset about that doctrine. How in the world could that little bitty baby, as innocent as it is, be called a sinner? Well, even the child in the womb is a sinner. Wait a minute, preacher. You're getting radical now. I'm just staying with the Bible. Because that doctrine of original sin, that doctrine when Adam sinned and death by sin came into the world, wherefore it's by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men for all have sinned. That nature is there. Those babies in the womb, they are not sinners by practice, but they're sinners by nature. That condemnation passed upon them. They're just as much in need of a Savior as the worst sinner that's ever walked on the face of this earth. So, unto us a child is born. You know, Job would ask the question, I know it is so of a truth, but how shall man be just with God? Because God sent his Son to this world to save us from our sins. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He was given for a purpose, to save us from our sins. He was given to be a substitute. You know, Genesis 22, when Abraham was told to take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice unto me. I just love reading that passage, because it seems like every time I read it, there's just some little detail that pops out that I didn't focus on before. But he said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac. Well, Abraham had two sons at that time. But what he was teaching in that lesson applied to Isaac, and it did not apply to Ishmael. So, just another glimpse that God gives us of his purpose, of how he would save his people. Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Then it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. You know, my knee-jerk reaction to that is to say hallelujah. That it's in God's hands. Well, it's always been in God's hands. And it always will be in God's hands. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, men can make a mess of a lot of things. Quite often they do. I've made a lot of messes myself. Okay, but I'm thankful that this is in God's hands. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. All right? So when we think about God, he rules over all. Okay? And when we think about his son, where is he now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father on his throne. God raised him up to sit on his throne. And that's above everything. His throne in heaven is above all creation. Oh, there's so much talk nowadays about the possibility of life on other planets. All those kind of things. Bless your heart, whatever there might, I'm not trying to give credence to any of that. I'm just simply saying, whatever there might be, he's above it all. Because he's God. Okay? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. All right? So all judgment, John tells us that Jesus said, all judgment is given unto me. All right? So the government shall be upon his shoulder. Aren't you thankful that it's in God's hands? Brother Thomas was mentioning fickle. some people are fickle, some changeable. I'm just certainly thankful. I can take this book and I can read God's testimony of what is right. I can also read God's testimony of what is wrong. And in whose eyes does it matter? God's eyes. He's the one that decides what's right. He's the one that decides what's wrong. A lot of people have lost sight of that these days. You know, those Supreme Court judges. Brother Thomas mentioned those too. You know, when we want them to do what's right, we want them to base it upon what really is right, not some new definition of what is right and wrong. Okay? God's word tells us what's right and what's wrong. The government is upon his shoulder. And that's never going to change, is it? That basis for judgment is never going to change. Government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called. Now, he is these things. He is all of these things and more. Okay? But in this glorious exhortation or exaltation of God, we have these names: Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's this child. Yes, he came, and yes, he was laid in a manger. And in most of my life, I just pictured that manger as a wooden box. Yeah. But the more I've studied it, the more I find that quite often it was hewed out of stone. Doesn't that give you a good picture? He came. He was born king, by the way. And they laid him in this manger, hewed out of stone. And when he died, what did they do? They laid him in a sepulcher, hewed out of stone. When he who later would identify himself as the true bread from heaven was laid in a manger, isn't that a beautiful picture? The bread of God, what God provided for our life. God sent his, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name should be called Wonderful. I hope that we can all understand and rejoice in the fact that he is wonderful. You know, depending on where our heart is, we might consider something else wonderful. You know, yesterday there's a lot of folks getting all excited about something they think is wonderful. And a lot of folks today, this afternoon, whatever, will be getting all excited about something they call wonderful. And that's nothing to be compared to how wonderful this child is. The child that was born, the son that was given, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He was born a Savior. But he was born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He was born a Savior. He was just as much a Savior then as he was 33 years later when he was hanged on the cross. But bless your hearts, how wonderful our Lord is. How wonderful, how gracious, how good, how merciful, how kind, how powerful, how all loving, and all of those things. I would that we could spend some time as we, not only this season, but all year round, thinking about just how wonderful our Lord is. You know, he can't be any more wonderful than he is, but he can certainly be more wonderful in our mind and in our heart. We can grow, we can stretch in our understanding, we can grow in our appreciation, we can grow in our ability to manifest our love to Him and to others. He can't be any more wonderful, but we can. In our understanding and in our love for Him, we can see Him as more and more wonderful the more we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Wonderful. Counselor. Where do you seek for counsel? I hope it's right here. I hope this is a great deal of our counseling. This is the testimony of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what God has done. This is what God has done for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that was given for us to save us from our sins. And so as we think about, He's one of His names is Counselor. All wisdom is given unto Him. The Spirit was not given to Him by measure. He is God. And so we rejoice to know that not only is He wonderful, but He's our Counselor. All wisdom and all knowledge is in Him. As we think about how glorious He is. He's wonderful. He's our Counselor. The mighty God. That sounds strange to be talking about Jesus and to call Him the mighty God. Well, He is God, right? And He did say that all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. I'd say that's mighty God. All right? So when we think about, is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything that He wants to do, anything that is His will to do, He can do it. Now, there's some things He can't do. Do you know that? He can't die. He can't lie. He can't swear by any greater. He can't deny Himself. There might be another one or two. But even in those things that He cannot do, it's because it would violate His holiness. And the fact that He's eternal. That's why He cannot die. So as we think about then, one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ is the mighty God. All right? Then He speaks not only of the mighty God, but the everlasting Father. Everlasting. You know, I like to think about when I was born, my parents were well up in years already. And so by the time I was in my 20s, early 20s, and I guess less than 30 when my mother passed, but my daddy passed, and I never knew any of my grandparents. But I do remember, as a child, thinking, Mom and Daddy can do anything. You ever thought that? Yeah, Mom and Daddy can, you know, I even thought of my teacher when I remember just real early in school. I asked my teacher about something and she said she didn't know and it stumped me a little bit. I thought, well, teacher, I thought you knew everything. See how gullible I was. All right. David said, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. There comes a time, and if you haven't experienced it already, it's coming. Mom and Daddy's not going to be here forever. But the Lord is. He always will be. He's eternal. His Son is eternal because He's God. You know, in John 14, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Because they're one. And so when we think about the everlasting Father, He always has been and always will be the same. That verse in Malachi 3, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He can't change. He's perfect already. If he were to change in any sense, he'd cease to be perfect in that aspect. He'd have to move away from perfection. So the everlasting Father, not only is he everlasting, but he's still our Father. Always will be. You know, as Brother Thomas was preaching this morning, I was thinking about over in Matthew 7, where Jesus said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven, shall your Father give good things to them that ask? He does give us those good and perfect gifts, doesn't he? And he daily loads us with benefits. I would that we as God's people could spend more time thinking about God's goodness, about his mercy, about his love, and all that he has provided for us to help us to understand better that our praise and thanksgiving to him is because of his goodness that he's already manifested to us. If God never gave us another gift, if he never gave us another blessing, if he never gave us another mercy, we've already got enough to praise him in all eternity. Because what he's already done for us is sent his son to this world to save us from our sins. And so someday we're going to be raised and fashioned. You know, if we pass the scene of this life before he comes, we'll be raised. If we're still alive when he comes, we'll be changed. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, the last trump. All right? But we'll be given a perfect body and be taken home to be with him forever. Ever. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of it. When he was born, the angels proclaimed glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Ah, preacher, people are still fighting wars. They've been fighting wars ever since. What do you mean by peace on earth? Well, there always will be. Jesus said there'll always be wars and rumors of wars. But the peace that he brought was peace between the Father and his people. When he shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins, he reconciled us to God. When Adam sinned, he destroyed that. But Jesus restored it. Oh, as we think about it, the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. He's the one that brought it. He is our peace. And we'll enjoy it with God the Father forever because of our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest of all gifts God has given us. So as we enter into this holiday season and we start hearing those passages, especially that one, I want you to think about just what it's speaking about. This passage is good for all year round. This passage is good for us to remember any day of the year because of what God has done for us. When he said, a child is born unto us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. All judgment was given to him. Bless your hearts, when he died, he paid our sin debt. When he arose again, he arose for our justification. Oh, as we think about all that he's done for us, may God help us to praise him and adore him. You know, this is just the beginning. When we start talking about the names and all those kinds of things. But bless your hearts, it's plenty for us to think about and give him praise and thanksgiving and adoration every day we live. May God bless you. It's our prayer.